and now evangelist David Shannon.
Good morning. It's good to have everyone here this morning and everyone awake and alive. Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Well, that just makes you want to preach right there. Matthew, the 13th chapter, we've been looking at the past several weeks. And this morning we look at something that we can very well relate to very easy in our day and time, and that is worth. When you go to sell your house, you have a price in your mind that you think your house is worth, and the buyer has a price in his mind that he thinks the house is worth, and if it's not the same, you might have to compromise, and the truth is the price you agree upon is probably more closely to what the house is worth. Take, for instance, a painting that you might look at and you say, I wouldn't give you $5 for that painting, but yet it may auction off for $500,000. And you say, that painting's not worth $500,000. Well, try to tell the person that just received the $500 cash for it. It was worth it because he's holding the $500,000. And the one holding the painting saying, it's worth it because I just paid the $500,000. You see, worth is in our mind. Jesus wanted His disciples to realize in their mind a clear picture of what is the kingdom of heaven worth. He's already told them back in the beginning of the 13th chapter. He said, listen, there's going to be differences in the kingdom of heaven and those in the world. He says, it's just like the wheat and the tares, the good and the bad. And then He said, but now the differences still should not stop the growth. The kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed. It's very small, but it should grow to be very large. And then He says, let me tell you another parable to tell you how to come about that growth. He says, it's contact. He says, you're the leaven. You're the power, but you have to go out into the world. You can't stay just a close-knit group, and all you do is influence each other. He says, you go out and you influence the world, and before you know it, you've done what the mustard seed does, and that's go from very small to very large. And now in Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 44, we read about what is it worth. Jesus, you've told us many things in your parables, but now, Lord, help us to understand exactly what is it worth for me to do this. Is it worth giving up everything for me to do this? He says, yes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, for us to better understand this parable, we probably need to understand, in that day and time, their procedures for finding treasures. Why would they find so many treasures in that day and time? There wasn't such a thing as a safe. There were no lock boxes. There were no banks. There were no savings accounts such as to speak, or at least as we think of today. And so a man may work very hard for very, very many years, and he may build up a stash of gold or some fine linens or silver or anything of value. So to protect himself from thieves, he would take and very secretly he would put those into a box. And he would go and he would bury them at a place, and he had a marker to locate that place. And the fewer people he told, the safer his treasure was. But now what happens when that man dies? No one else knows where that treasure is buried. So it remains. It remains until one day someone finds it. So Jesus, in telling the value of the kingdom of heaven, He says, when you go out into a field and you find that treasure that has been hidden there for years and years, and you know that it has not belonged to anyone, He says, you go and buy that field. You see, that was the law in that day. Apparently, you could not take that treasure out of the field if you did not own the field. So He says, whatever it costs, you sell everything you have, if that be the case, and you buy that field because that treasure is worth it. That's how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. Why is the kingdom of heaven so valuable to us? I want us to look at two different passages that help us to understand how valuable it really is. If you will, turn with me to Colossians, the first chapter. In Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 13 and 14, we read about the value of the kingdom of heaven. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How valuable is it? It's valuable because it delivers us. Brethren, we were in total darkness. We were overshadowed by the powers of darkness without Jesus Christ. And there was nothing you and I could do about it on our own. We needed help to have what the verse 14 says is the redemption through forgiveness of sins. And once we received that help from Jesus Christ, we were then translated into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the place in which we are delivered. It should be valuable to us. We should realize that there is no way that I can have the repentance of sins and not dwell in the kingdom of God. There is no way that that can happen because we are automatically delivered to the kingdom of God once we have that. We need to realize that it is nothing that you and I can do without God's help. So with the power, the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be delivered to this kingdom. Look also with me to Hebrews. In Hebrews the 12th chapter, beginning verse 28, we read another very important thing about the value. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Brethren, if we could really understand this passage and believe it with all of our heart, we'd do away with the lukewarmness in our life. Have you ever seen the people that want so badly to be Christians, but they want so badly to hang on to parts of the world? Yes, you've seen people like that because if you're a human being, you've been that person. You've been there to where you want to be a Christian so bad, but there's some temptation, there's something that you just do not want to turn loose of. You want to hold on to it. You even want to serve it. You're not willing to give it up. Here we read about a kingdom that cannot be moved, it cannot shake, but it is the only place to serve God. Brethren, when I really believe that, I'm going to have to turn loose. I'm going to have to let go. There's no other place to serve God. There's none of us here that can say, I'm a faithful Christian, I'm not in the kingdom, but I'm still serving God sometimes. You see, when I go out in the world, I'm not wicked like they are. I'm still serving God. No, we're either in the kingdom or we're out of the kingdom. Here at the latter part, we may serve God acceptably. Where? In the kingdom. There's no other place to serve God. Some say, well, I don't see the need really for baptism. I don't see the need for that coming into the body. But I still see the need to be a good person. I still see the need to serve God. I still love God. I still pray to Him. I still obey God. I just don't see the need to come into His kingdom. Brethren, according to Hebrews the 12th chapter, there is no way to serve God and not come into the kingdom. That is the only place the service is acceptable. And notice how it's acceptable. Acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Do we forget that sometimes? I think we do. Sometimes you even hear Christians speak of God's name in vain. Sometimes we even hear Christians throwing around the name Jesus Christ, and they by no means are showing respect to Him. You know, we need to be very, very careful how we show our reverence to God. And we need to be very, very careful how we fear God. And we need to realize that through studying the Old Testament examples, we see a God who is strict. We see a God who means what He says. And coming to the New Testament, we see a new characteristic of God, and that's one that He's a God of love. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. But that still does not change that God of old. It's the same God. It's a God who means what He says, but He loves us so much He's going to give us forgiveness of sins if we want it. The question is, do I believe God in that strictness? When I believe Him in that way, it's then I'm going to have the proper reverence for Him. It's then I'm going to have the proper godly fear. You know, perhaps our problem sometimes is we allow God to become common to us. Now, yes, we need to know God and we need to love God, but God should never become common to us. Oh, yeah, I pray. No big deal, I pray. That's a dangerous life. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is talking to the Almighty God in heaven, and every time I pray, I should be thankful that He's willing to hear the prayer of someone as lowly as I am. Do I come to worship? Yeah, I go to worship. Brethren, I need to realize it is a privilege to come and to worship the Almighty God in heaven. Do I have forgiveness of sins? Yes. And it's an awesome gift that He has given us to have that forgiveness of sins. And once we allow anything about God and the gifts that He has given us and the blessings that He gives us to become common to us, we've lost that reverence. The only place to show that reverence, though, is in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is valuable. This morning, let none of us forget just how valuable the kingdom of God really is. But now we must ask ourselves a question that's kind of confusing. If the kingdom really is so valuable because it does deliver us, if it is so valuable because it's the only place that we can truly serve God, why is it hid from men? Why do most men do not agree or obey or even know about the kingdom of heaven? You know, in John 18:36, when Jesus was before Pilate there and He was being questioned, and Pilate would go back out and then He would come back in. I think Jesus, in answering Pilate, answered this question for us. He said to Pilate that, "My kingdom is not of this world." You see, people today want to see something right in front of them before they believe it. Have you noticed that? When's the last time you've agreed upon something that costs maybe several thousand dollars and you just shook hands and your word was your word? Probably not lately. People want a contract. They want to see it in front of them and they want to be able to say, "There's proof." All through the ages, people have wanted to see the kingdom of heaven. They didn't just want to hear about it. They wanted to see it. Pilate couldn't understand about the kingdom because he couldn't see it. We move on to Luke the 17th chapter and we find out that those people wanted to be able to point to it, and Jesus being inspired there, the Holy Spirit, Luke writing through the Holy Spirit says, "You can't say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.'" He says, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Brethren, the kingdom of heaven is within every Christian. And the world cannot look and point and say, "That's where they built the kingdom of heaven." They can't see it. They can't really touch it. The truth is, it's within everyone that obeys. That confuses many when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Also, Matthew the 5th chapter, the Beatitudes that tell us two verses of the kingdom of heaven, is verses that most are not searching for when they think of the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Brethren, there's not many people out in the world walking around saying, "I want a part of the kingdom of heaven and I'm willing to give up everything. I'm willing to bow down to God and say, 'I need you. I need your love. I need your direction.'" Most do not want to be poor in spirit. Therefore, they can't find the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's not many walking around and they're seeing those Christians that are being laughed at or being mocked at or being talked behind their back, and they're not saying, you know, I'd like to be a Christian like that. People just do not look at persecution and ridicule and say, that's something I would enjoy. So therefore, many that look at the kingdom at all see that there are some characteristics about the kingdom of heaven that they do not want a part of. It's not that valuable to them, even though it is valuable. Also, we see in John the 3rd chapter when Nicodemus came to Jesus, perhaps a reason that stops as many today as any other reason, and that is the obedience to salvation. Many want to have a God that when disaster comes, they can pray to Him. Many want to have neighbors that live godly lives because they're good neighbors, and so in return, they live somewhat that way. But many are confused, just as Nicodemus. He says, what about this new birth? I don't understand it. And Jesus says that if a man will not be born again, notice, he will not see the kingdom of God. Brethren, it's that simple. Why do men miss it? Because they can't see it. Why can't they see it? Because they have not been born again. No, it's not going back into the mother's womb. It's the burial and baptism that Jesus Christ has taught. Reenactment of His death, burial, and resurrection to wash away the sins, to come in contact with the power of His blood. And when we have not done that, we have not seen the kingdom of heaven. We may think we know what it's about, and we may say, well, I know people that's a part of the kingdom of heaven, but the truth is we have not seen the kingdom of heaven until we've been born again. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is valuable. Some men miss it, even though it's valuable. Even though it's around them, they miss it. They never see it. But let's close this morning with thinking about, what are we to do with it? When we have it, what do we do with the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 13 tells us that it's like the treasure. The first thing we need to do is we need to be ready for it. If you will, turn with me to Luke. In Luke, the 9th chapter, we see 3 types of people. And this teaching that Jesus does here, if there's ever a teaching that I would never do unless it was from the Word of God, this is one example of it. This is something that a man could not stand before you and say and get by with these words. But they're true. They're from Jesus. Notice what He said in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And what was He saying to that type of person? Saying, oh, you so quickly say you'll follow Me wherever you go. He says, you don't know what you're committing to. He says, I don't even have a place to lay my head at night, and you're saying you're going to follow Me wherever I go? There's many that find the treasure and they look at it and they say, without giving it thought, I'll take this. I like it. It's valuable. But they don't realize the commitment they're making to Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at the next type of person in 59 and 60. And he said unto another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Brethren, that's some hard words. But what Jesus wanted to emphasize here is the order of importance. You see, most of us, with our compassion, would have said, that's fine. Go ahead. Don't follow right now. Go ahead and bury your father and meet me in a few days. Jesus wanted to emphasize to this person, there's nothing that should come before following Jesus? Nothing. Those are some hard words. But if we're going to find the treasure and use it, that's the way it is. Look at verse 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow when looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So finally we see the last type of person. And that's the person that sees the beauty of the kingdom of heaven but says, Lord, I'm coming, I'm going to serve You, but just let me say goodbye to the world first. Just let me go and let me have my last party, let me have my last fulfillment of self, let me have my last whatever it is, and then I'm going to follow You because I see how great the kingdom is. And He says, anyone that puts their hands to the plow and sees how great it is and then looks back is not fit. What do we do when we find the treasure? We look at it and we walk toward it every day. Every day. We can't look back. And we can't say, but Lord, I just want to say goodbye to the world. We can't say, but Lord, this is so important. I'll just do this and then I'll come back to following You. And we can't just lightly say, yes, Lord, I'll follow You. It is a commitment. It's a commitment of life. Yes, the treasure is very valuable. And yes, there are many, many men today that they have not seen it. The question this morning, brethren, is, have you seen it? If you've not seen the kingdom of heaven, you've missed something very, very beautiful. You've missed a life of peace that passes all understanding. You've missed a life of hope. When you wake up and when you go to bed at night, you have that hope of the second coming. You've missed those things if you've not seen the kingdom of heaven. Let today be the last day you live on this earth and not see the kingdom of heaven. Maybe there's someone here this morning that they've seen the kingdom of heaven, but yet you've turned back. Maybe you didn't want to turn back. It was just a foolish mistake on your part. You just gave in to temptation. Brethren, we all make mistakes. On judgment day, don't let pride be the reason that you didn't come back to the church. Don't let the fact that you thought it was secret information be the reason you didn't come back to the church. You see, there's no one here this morning that has the power to judge your heart and tell you if you're in the kingdom or out of the kingdom, except you and God. This morning, if you have every one of us fooled, but you're not in the kingdom, do something about it as we stand and as we sing.